Hello and welcome to this edition of My Extraordinary Family. I'm Bishop Stephen Croft, and each week in the Diocese of Oxford, I have a conversation with somebody who is part of the diocese about their life and work and listen to what they're learning and what we're learning together about being more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. And I'm here this afternoon with Tony, who is our Director of Education for the diocese, and he's been in post just for one term. He's just reaching the end of his first term. Tony, good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me. Tell us a bit about your background and your story and how you come to be in this wonderful role for us.
So as Director of Education, I have the responsibility to lead a directorate which covers over 283 schools, which is across four archdeaconries. It has nine local authorities within it and 18, soon to be 19, multi-academy trusts. It is the largest directorate of education at a diocesan level across the country. And I mentioned that I felt called to it. My background previously had been in secondary schools, predominantly challenging secondary schools in the West Midlands, where I was brought in to sort out some quite significant challenges and issues. Two of those schools were in special measures. And prior to that, I spent 4 years in the Middle East as a principal education consultant. And once upon a time, I was the head teacher of a nice 11 to 16 school in rural Somerset. So this is a very different role. It's a system leadership role. It's about working with and through schools and in support and service of schools. And I suppose in many ways it's the first time I've had an opportunity to really serve God in a context within an organisation which is Christian. I was the acting head of a Church of England secondary school way back when, but this is the first time I've had the chance to work on a diocesan level. And so when the advert appeared in the Times Educational Supplement, it really struck me, and I remember putting together the application quite late on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and then sending it off, and then being delighted when I was called to interview. I had two sets of interviews, and then it finally ended up with a very important and I think very valuable discussion with yourself, Bishop Stephen, at your lodge. And there were two things really that struck me, and one of which was that during the second interview, the question was asked by yourself, if I were to lead a Bible study class, which piece of scripture would I choose? And out of nowhere into my head came the Beatitudes. And I then later found out through research that it's been something that you've used almost to the core of your ministry. Yeah. And I thought that clearly was in many ways God speaking with and through me. And then I remember also on the way up to the final interview and discussion with yourself, seeing the light striking the Tyndall Monument on the M5 and you asking me the question, which Christian leaders have you inspired me? And I was able to draw upon the example of William Tyndall.
Yeah. I remember the conversation.
So for me, it's been a real calling to this role, and it's a role that I'm relishing and really enjoying to work on a strategic system basis, but also to work in direct support of some of our schools, which are unfortunately in challenging circumstances.
Yeah. Numbers are enormous, Tony, aren't they? I mean, I continually grapple with the complexity of it all because, as you say, 283 schools, 60,000 pupils in those schools, plus the multi-academy trusts that we engage with, and every child important, and every staff member and governor also really important. How are you beginning to keep all that in your head?
I think that's a really important question. The great thing is that I am very privileged to lead and work with a very informed, experienced and highly skilled team. And I've relied very much upon them to provide me with the intel, I suppose, of the information that comes back from schools. So it's about working with and through them. That's the first thing. The second thing is the modern wonders of technology, which clearly we're part of here, has enabled me to communicate to all of those schools through initially regular emails, and then second, following up through blogs, which I've done in the last month or so. And then thirdly, it's about actually being out and about as much as possible. So I've looked to try to get to visit as many schools, as many multi-academy trusts, as many local authority officers. I think I've clocked up something like 6,000 miles already in the space of the last 2 months. So I think the value of my car is depreciating, but it's been great to get out and about. And I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was able to actually be present at a meeting or an event in each one of the four archdeaconries. I think I remember writing about that in my blog. Yeah. That's the key thing for me. And it's about as much, and this is quite challenging for somebody like me, it's about listening and taking on board people's views and ideas, as well as obviously saying, hi, I'm Tony, I'm the new Diocesan Director of Education.
Yeah. And I sense from where I sit that it's not the easiest time to be in education or to be particularly a head teacher. What, from your perspectives, are some of the challenges our schools are facing?
As a very recent head teacher up until last academic year, I can certainly empathise with the challenges that schools are facing. I think overwhelmingly the first one is the funding crisis, where 51% of church primary schools expect to be in a position where they will have to unfortunately lose frontline staff at the end of this current academic year. And that rises to 70% of Church of England primary schools. Mm. So this isn't about using reserves, this is actually biting into the quick and the vibrant nature of those schools. So the funding crisis undoubtedly is the biggest single challenge, and it's been widely documented in the media. The second thing I have to mention is recruitment and retention of staff, teachers, but also support staff as well. And particularly in the area that we're in, whilst it may be beautiful and its connections to London are fantastic and it's a delightful part of the world to live in, that has a knock-on effect with property prices. Mm. Which makes it very difficult to recruit newly qualified teachers in. And it also, unfortunately, the other end of the scale, means that in terms of retention, there are challenges for our schools. With teaching being such a rewarding but challenging profession, there's statistics which say that within the first 5 years, a third of all newly qualified teachers will have left the profession. And we're seeing that also at a higher level in terms of head teachers. And I think that brings me very neatly on to in many ways, one of our biggest challenges, also one of our biggest priorities as a Diocesan Board of Education. And that is the issues around mental health and well-being, particularly obviously in terms of children and young people. We were speaking earlier around the fact that I think it's very prescient that you've chosen to focus on that with your address to Synod. I've picked that up in terms of my blog from last week, because for me there is an epidemic, a crisis in terms of mental health and well-being in our schools.
And I was focusing on children, on particularly teenagers and young adults there, but actually I was talking to one of our parish clergy earlier this afternoon, and she was picking up from her school the high proportion of parents of the children who are suffering from mental health disorders in some way. So it's clearly affecting all parts of the school community, really, and schools are caught in the centre of that, addressing the needs of the children, the needs of the parents, trying to and so on, really. So yeah, it's really, really urgent. And what kind of support do you sense that our schools are looking for from their local parish churches?
I think this is a really interesting question, because one of the areas that's become a priority for us, and I think quite rightly so, has been around the church-school relationship. And we've identified that as a major area for our work moving forwards, looking at where there is examples of excellent practice, almost through appreciative inquiry as a sort of modus operandi, and in particular ensuring that schools and churches not only work in partnership, but that they benefit and enhance each other. So I think there's a role for us to play, and we've already identified some fantastic work taking place out there. One of the key areas I think that can have a tangible benefit is around that of chaplaincy. And I'm delighted to say that we have an outstanding chaplaincy advisor working with us currently and indeed into the future, who has already started to identify great examples of chaplaincy, to take examples learned from there and actually explore that with schools. Where there are existing chaplaincy models that perhaps aren't fully functioning, he's looking to develop those. And clearly this brings both churches and schools together in a very tangible way, where you can have a chaplain who is working as part of an area deanery, but at the same time has a role to play within a school or schools. And that person doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's ordained, they could be a lay person, provided they have had the requisite training and they understand their role. I think they can have a demonstrable effect. And if I can go back to our earlier conversation about mental health and well-being, it's important to say that those chaplaincy models are there not just for the children and the young people, and indeed the parents, as you were mentioning, they're also there for the staff. Going back to my earlier statistic about the number of teachers leaving the profession, I think it's important that when we deliver and develop these chaplaincy models, that they are focusing on the needs of the whole school community, as well as obviously the children who we're there to serve.
And one of the things I sometimes hear from heads and the education team is the hugely important role that governors play in church schools, often recruited from parish church congregations. Just say something for anybody listening to this who might be wondering whether to offer for that kind of service and how valuable it is.
Well, the first one I say is please do. We are very, very keen to ensure that our church schools and our schools generally have best form of governance and the best people there on governing bodies. We're running at the moment in time at 20% vacancies, so we do have a shortage of foundation governors. It is, I think, an incredibly important and very valuable and I think rewarding role. It's an opportunity to get involved and support and at times challenge the work of the school in the community. It's an instrumental way in which people who potentially have some capacity or time, and I know we all lead very busy lives, to get involved in shaping the direction of education for our young people. And I think it's also a way of giving back to the community as well. And it's also, I would say, a way in which people can develop their own skills and experiences and learn things perhaps they weren't aware of and find qualities within themselves. So we're very keen to hear from potential governors. We obviously have got a website, and I'm very anxious to talk to anybody who might be interested in that. And indeed, I would encourage parishes to really sort of think about how can they work through the foundation governors to support their schools to be even better.
And presumably you don't have to be a foundation governor in a school that's linked to your own church. So if you're a member of a parish and you want to serve, there's a place for you somewhere. And we'll put a link on the website with the podcast so people can find that. Tony, you come into this tremendously demanding and complex and busy role from with a wealth of experience there. What are you learning in terms of our three C's, contemplative, compassionate and courageous? What are you learning about the ways in which you can be contemplative and still in the midst of all of these demands?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Bishop Stephen. I think that's the one that has been the biggest challenge for me, because there is, as you say, so much to do and so little time in which to do it. I've had to take time out, and I think, without wishing to sort of flatter you, I think the Pilgrim Journey book that you've issued to all church school, I've actually utilised myself to give myself, at least at some point during the day, albeit outside of the working day, that moment of calm, that moment of still, that moment of communion with God. And I found that incredibly helpful and very useful. And I think the key thing for me moving forwards is, at the end of that course, is to actually then still build in that time of reflection and contemplation. And I think the other thing is also at a time which best suits. So for me, it tends to be around about 11:30 at night. So I've switched the television off. It's before I turn out the lights.
Yeah.
It's just that moment of stillness, like complene almost, I suppose,
Everybody's different, because I'm an early morning person. I find if I don't take my time first thing in the morning, then it goes really, and it's good to pray during the day. But everybody's different and learns to pray as we can. But that's really encouraging to hear. And Tony, could we close a conversation by you praying for the diocese and especially the schools and those church schools relationships and all of those children in our care?
Okay. Thank you, Bishop Stephen. Lord, we lift to you our children, our young people, our teachers, support staff, governors and parents and communities across this diocese. We thank you for the wonderful work that our schools do to enrich, enhance and broaden the lives of our children and young people. We appreciate and know the challenges that they encounter on a daily and weekly basis. We ask you to give them the strength and fortitude to be able to meet those challenges and to enable them to continue to improve and grow. We ask that over the course of the Easter holidays that we have time to switch off, to be contemplative, as well as courageous and compassionate. And all this we ask through your name, through Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. And thank you so much for coming to join us, for all that you've given, for surviving your first term and more than, if I may say so, and for being part of this extraordinary family. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Stephen.